Drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. In Munich, 1997, Australian Alex Murray Leslie met American Melissa Logan. What followed was more than a new band, it was an artistic movement. They created Chicks on Speed, a feminist music and fine art ensemble that has forged a career across fashion and music, art and design. The duo have collaborated with festivals and musicians all around the world, including Yoko Ono, Peaches and La Tigra. They're performing as part of Carriage Works Liveworks Festival of Experimental Art in Sydney, and Alex and Melissa are my guests in the drawing room. Hey guys, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for inviting us to your show.
Absolute pleasure. You two have really built a reputation in the fashion world through your unique collaborations. That's kind of what you do. Such as the E-Shoe, can you tell me about this creation and how you came up with it?
Oh, wow. So that came out of the song We Don't Play Guitars, actually. And so one day we needed some sort of instrumentation for the song, and Melissa plays guitar. She does these incredible rock sort of metal solos. And so for a couple of years we were using the guitar on stage, and then we realized this is such a contradiction. And so I was like, we can't have the guitar on stage. And so we sort of, out of desperation, this sort of high-heeled shoe guitar came along, and it's like a prop. It's like a semantic prop, feminist prop, that makes the high-heeled shoe strange and repurposes the shoe. And the high-heeled shoe has tortured women's feet for so long, so we decided to torture the shoe. And it became this sort of, this wearable prop, this critical costume that you can wear on stage and create your own sort of wooden cock plank substitute guitar solo with. And so after we had that instrument, I went to visit Max Kibarden. He's a very well-known shoemaker in Milan from Siberia. And I said, can we turn this into like a wearable, you know, fashionable e-shoe, electronic shoe that can trigger samples? So we worked on that together for around 2 years, and also together with various technicians around the world, and finally made this shoe that actually Lady Gaga was meant to wear. And then she was like, I don't wear open-toed shoes. And Kate Moss ended up wearing it in Brazilian Vogue and was photographed by Mario Testino. And it became quite a well-known gadget on and off stage.
What an incredible story, the journey of this shoe. So you call these creations
Object Instruments,
yeah. Right? Explain to me that name.
Well, yeah, the object and the thing, but then it also becomes wearable and playable. What we saw, though, with things like the high-heeled shoe guitar and other wearables is that we also changed the way we moved on stage. And a lot of dancers or actors will say that their outfit will influence their movements and their performance. And we also started to step beyond that, though, and also find then with playing them, that one has like certain contortions, and some are also only possible to be played collectively. So we moved then away from something that is something so individualistic to play one solo that one actually has to play it then together. And we had things, for example, super suits, where we decided the outfit, the costume would control the whole stage, the video, the sound sources, and that, yeah, that it's just one object instrument, that one actually is the body, and it's the body instrument.
But it's also thinking that object instruments are just one part of a bigger performative sort of stage. So if you think about the Gesamtkunstwerk, the all-encompassing artwork, that it's made up of a lot of different components, and the object instruments are just one of those. And then you have obviously the choreography, you have the lighting, the stage set, the dramaturgie, the songs, and so on, the architecture. And so we see as everything being interconnected. And so if you zoom in, you zoom in on object instruments, but you can zoom out to many other interdisciplinary elements.
So if I wanted to play the high heel guitar, are there any instructions?
Yes, there are instructions to how to make a high-heeled shoe guitar and actually how to play it. We created a audiovisual piece, a live art piece at Beaux-Arts Museum in Belgium. And you can actually watch and hear that on instructables.com. And I hope that you are going to play this now. And we actually teach you step by step how to actually build it yourself at home.
Let's do it.
One guitar lead with jack to jack, one jack input, one pair of wire cutters, one hot glue gun with refills, one piece of recycled wood measuring 1 × 1 × 2 centimeters. Step 2. Drill 3 holes for screws, each hole 1 centimeter apart, 2 millimeter drill bit. Screw the screws 720 degrees. Step 3. Attach pickup to the middle of the inner arch of the shoe using remaining screws.
I like how you did that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The work you do is made through a feminist lens and connects with, you know, feminist philosophies of creativity and production. Can you explain to me what those philosophies are or how they guide your work?
Well, I mean, the basis of feminism is freedom. So we see that the feminist aspect is always there, but also it's about the freedom of creativity. And a lot of people are, one feels like confined. And to have this attitude that not even getting out of a box, but really like, where is the box? That's our philosophy. What box?
Where's that box?
Liberation. But also you could connect to other philosophers such as Bataille and thinking about, you know, the feet, because I became a bit obsessed with the fact that the feet are somehow colonized by the body and the feet are there to balance us and the hands are doing everything. And every single musical instrument sort of in history has been dominated by the use of hands, just as the history of painting has been dominated by the hands. So thinking in a more of a functional diverse way, what happens when the feet take over and the feet start to play the instrument, you know, then we start to decolonize the body. So all of these ideas interconnect with philosophers.
Now, you're conducting the LiveWorks keynote lecture called Feminist Sound Technologies. What is a feminist sound?
It's awkward.
Alex said that, I didn't say that.
It's awkward.
Isn't it the sound of happiness?
Oh, the sound of liberation. Again, the liberation of the feet, you know, so the feet are liberated when the hands are busy. It's like Padasthanga in yoga. So I'd say, yeah, feminist sound is like playing instruments in different ways. And one of those is using our feet and you know, doing a handstand and doing things, making the normal strange, making classical musical instruments strange, making sounds that have never existed before. So getting away from these classical musical instruments that should really be locked away for 200 years. It took 200 years to develop the violin, but our music has been dominated by these sorts of instruments. And so we need to think about new instruments to express feminism. And that's how we see, by making object instruments, we're able to have a different, form a different language and have a different voice on stage.
Now, we're going to hear a piece of yours. I understand it's called Arctic Rabbit. Tell me a bit about it.
Well, it's based on the Jefferson Airplane White Rabbit song. And the notion was to... We sort of had this recipe, and we've got this technique called meditative texting, and it's so you have multiple texts in front of you, and you take an existing melody, and then you read, you sing, you shout through the text in front of you, and you build sentence structures on the spot. So it's like reflection in action, on the spot vocal experimentation. So in a way, we wanted to bring together these opposites of Jefferson Airplane's sort of hit and somehow confuse audiences with it, with changing multiple elements of this in order to bypass sort of copyright filters. So thinking about authorship and who owns a song and what happens if you rewrite the song, remake the song in a way that you confuse the technologies around us, you confuse artificial intelligence through using humanistic intelligence. But I'll let Melissa continue because she's really into copyright.
Tell me, Melissa, because I know you're really into copyright.
While writing the lyrics, I was actually trying out a program of an AI composer and having fun then composing music with it. And actually it says, okay, actually the AI composer is going to compose everything for us. So we can make a lot of videos. It's actually to feed all the video content that's on YouTube, everywhere in the world, all the advertisements, it's all copyrighted content. So I was very interested now if we use these apps, which are the AI composer, who actually owns the copyright? Is it the people who designed the program? Is it the people who have designed the engines that the programs are using? And, I mean, actually, of course, turns out to be a company in LA that owns it all. And you pay, as a subscriber, you pay a certain amount per year that you get a subscription to this AI composer. And the music it composes then belongs to you, so you can upload it everywhere. But I wasn't really sure in the end who's going to actually get the royalties then of the music. I'm still confused about it. And after a while, I thought about it too much, and I couldn't even use the AI composer because I felt like I was teaching the AI composer. And in a way, my creativity was going into the AI, and I was becoming the AI. And then I just started writing song lyrics for Arctic Rabbit.
And in a way, I suppose you could say it's using artistic intelligence in order to subvert AI. So in the end, yeah, it's the artist's voice.
Okay, let's have a listen to it. This is Arctic Rabbit. That was Arctic Rabbit by Chicks on Speed and Alex Murray-Leslie and Melissa Logan, otherwise known as Chicks on Speed, are my guests in the drawing room. So in your talk, you're doing at Carriage Works tomorrow night. You will be discussing some new object instruments you've created. What are they?
So one of them is the computer-enhanced footwear, which is actually a project that I worked on during my PhD that I undertook at Creativity and Cognition Studios, the University of Technology in Sydney. So the shoes are to rethink, you know, if you're a pole dancer, how could you be liberated through pole dancing? Because pole dancers are usually dancing to other people's music. So I wanted to create these high-heeled shoes that a pole dancer could wear and create their own music with. And you know, be in control of what they're doing, because pole dancing is sort of coming out of the sex industry. So it was really this notion of empowerment by putting on these shoes. And it has these parallels to Dorothy and, you know, wearing the red shoes, that shoes can be metaphors for taking you to other places and empowering you. And so I worked for many years on those, and now I'm developing a new type of footwear that has circuits embedded in them, and they have Arduino circuits. They have various sensors like accelerometer, gyro, compass, force-sensitive resistors, and these are then mapped to sounds in FM sound synthesis. And so it depends on what angle that you move your foot in the water or in the air, and then it generates various parameters of sound synthesis. And so I'm currently working with the Spanish they call them artistic swimmers now, so not synchronized swimmers, but artistic swimmers. And they look like Kraftwerk, and they usually dance to in water to AC/DC. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, they have to work with Chicks on Speed, obviously, and wear some of these computer-enhanced footwear. So this is the current iterative sort of process going on with this computer-enhanced footwear. That's just one of our projects, though, but Melissa will tell you all about the Theremin Tapestry.
Melissa, tell me more.
Oh, I'm sorry. The question was, though, about tomorrow. We won't have them at the talk, the Theremin Tapestry, but the Theremin Tapestry was exhibited here with our exhibition called Scream, which toured Australia. And, we wanted to just say that right now, performing I'll Be Your Body Instrument is really a takeoff from the exhibition Scream, because Scream had the already sound pieces, which we were developing at the time with the Australian Tapestry Workshop, which they made this four-piece Theremin tapestry that was woven pieces of conductive metal. So already these interactive pieces that we're touring, we have stepped now with I'll Be Your Body Instrument with the premiere on Saturday, that we are taking a large spectrum of the body and in the body, getting the sounds, mining the sounds, making music from the mind sounds of the body, but also thinking about the body as a collective body. When humans come together, the activist body, the human shield body, what are the bodies, the audience body and the consciousness body, and also the heartbeat of the body and the beat, and also how we pick up each other's signaling and how it changes us when we're in groups together.
I want to thank you both for coming into the drawing room. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you.
Alex Murray-Leslie and Melissa Logan, otherwise known as Chicks on Speed, there. And they're going to be at Carriageworks Live Works Festival of Experimental Art in Sydney this Friday, October the 18th, where they'll also be giving a keynote lecture to discuss the sound technologies they've developed. It's a free event, but bookings are essential. That's it for RN Drive. I'll be back tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Catch you then.